China and the U.S. talked trade face-to-face today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, with both the U.S. and China agreeing to hold, quote, positive and constructive dialogue talks aimed at ending the trade war resumed today in Beijing. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, David.
I think this is the first time the U.S. and China have talked trade face-to-face since the summit in Argentina in November. Any details emerge after day one of these talks today?
Not really any details about what they might or might not have achieved during the course of the day's worth of meetings. But ahead of it, we did get some sort of briefing that what they were trying to make some progress on was this highly vexed question of what President Trump called the theft of technology from American firms that are either doing business in China by way of conditions that force them to transfer their technology and lose control of it to a Chinese partner, or indeed cyber theft, hacking access to American firms to get hold of their technological secrets.
Are you seeing indications that these talks this week are more than pro forma, that there's a seriousness of purpose here?
China has this persistent problem of a slowing economy to a point, of course, it needs to slow down from the breakneck growth rates it had over previous decades. But the slowdown is proving to be a bit of a problem. The United States also has declines that have been in the stock market. Both of these issues have been aggravated at the very least by the continued trade tension. So there are good reasons why perhaps both sides might be more willing to move than they were a few weeks ago.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
Markets on this Monday. London is down 0.7%. U.S. stock index futures are down this morning, -0.2% for the S&P future. If the federal government's partial shutdown drags on much longer, it could affect your tax refund. The Internal Revenue Service is operating at what you might call a skeleton crew, down to just an eighth of its workforce. Marketplace's Ben Bradford explains how this could put the tax return timeline in limbo.
Usually, filing season starts and you can send in your latest tax return in about 3 weeks. But this year, we don't know.
It's uncharted territory for the IRS. They've never been in a situation like this.
Former federal tax official Mark Mazur, now at the Tax Policy Center, he says the IRS could choose to delay filing season because of the shutdown, or start it but withhold refunds. The agency hasn't said.
This is largely a judgment call, and it comes down to whether you can actually pull this off with the limited staff that is available.
If the agency does delay refunds, low-income families will feel it most. Sarah Louise Smith runs the Alabama nonprofit Impact America, which helps people file returns.
This is the largest check they're going to see all year. And so, if it doesn't come when you expect it to come, then it does put you in a bind.
The one thing we do know, barring a change from Congress, tax returns remain due April 15th. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the gender pay gap, this time among professional musicians. The Boston Symphony Orchestra is being sued by its principal flute player. Elizabeth Rowe says she gets paid $64,000 less a year than the male principal oboe player that she sits next to. Washington Post National Arts reporter Jeff Edgers joins us from our D.C. Bureau. Welcome.
Hi there. Good morning.
So tell me about Elizabeth Rowe and what she found out about the guy who sits next to her.
Well, Elizabeth Rowe is the principal flutist at the Boston Symphony Orchestra, which is really, they would say, like the Red Sox or the Yankees of the orchestra world.
Yeah.
As soon as she got this job 14 years ago, she did what anybody who did their homework would do, which is looked up who was earning what. And you can't look at everybody's salary, but you can look at the top earners. And she learned that John Farrillo, the principal oboist who sits next to her, was earning more than she is. And, you know, it's changed over the years, but roughly between like $65,000 and $70,000 more a year than she is.
Now, her lawsuit is testing a new Massachusetts equal pay law that could be a factor here.
I'm told that the Massachusetts Equal Employment Law, which really went into effect this summer, is one of the most stringent in the country. And, you know, the idea of it, I think, philosophically, is to say, look, women in every industry are paid less than men. How do you crack that structure and reset it somehow? But that's what she's decided to use because she felt like she had no other option. I mean, she is not somebody who was dying to stand up in the middle of a performance and say, hey, I'm not getting paid enough, please. I mean, I call her sort of a reluctant agitator.
Now, how has the Boston Symphony Orchestra responded to this? I mean, they're going to say John Farrillo's an oboist, she's a flautist, apples and oranges, right?
Well, yes. The Boston Symphony Orchestra has given several responses. They wouldn't do an interview with us, but they gave me many statements. One is that they say that the oboe is harder to play. They also say that there are market factors, that there are more flutists out there to hire than oboists. But I'll tell you, my research shows that this is not really science.
So the pay thing is at the center of this, but there's also a demographic story here in terms of there are a lot of men who play for orchestras around the country.
From what I've found, there are 78 people that I put on a list of the highest paid symphony musicians in the country. And on that list, only 14 of that 78 are women. So 64 of the top 78 paid played are men. There's a structural issue there that you can't deny.
Jeff Edgers, National Arts Reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're tracking the fate of Sears and Kmart this morning. The story a week and a half ago was that the Sears chairman, Eddie Lampert, was trying to keep 425 Sears stores open. But Bloomberg News is reporting that deal might fall through. We do know that Sears has chosen a company that would sell off all of the Sears and Kmart stuff if it comes to that. The costs of a full Sears failure would be staggering. 68,000 jobs are on the line. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.